T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I mean, it is, it's windy, it's snowy, it's nasty. Really, in St. Louis, I mentioned this last hour, all it takes is just the possibility of snow or ice and people start driving really, really stupid, right?
I was scared a little bit this morning. I have to admit that. I love driving in the snow, but this isn't the kind of snow.
Was it slick when you came in?
It felt like, because I left the house, it was raining. Got to Don Rogers in Belleville, started sleeting. Get downtown St. Louis, it's snowing.
Well, I got to just say this, Carol. Way to get the sponsor in there in that
Wasn't
whole
that
thing,
fantastic?
Too. Man,
I'm
she
so
slides
good.
Don
Thank
Rogers
you.
Right
Thank
in
you
there.
Very much.
Just a quick mention, too. You and I were at the St. Louis International Film Festival on Friday night. We saw a movie called Waves, which stars Sterling K. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And Sterling's
going to
come on at 4:20 this afternoon. He was in town, you know, for a cancer
gala, American Cancer Society's Champions Gala.
But flew out right away, and I'm going to have him on at 4:20 this afternoon. I was blown away by the movie. And I don't get blown away by very many things, but this movie is really, really incredible.
It is so moving, thought-provoking, touching, sad.
All those things.
All of those things.
Right.
There was such silence in the theater, such silence, because it was so impactful. It was just a remarkable
I'm glad
story.
You liked it as much as me. And I get excited to talk about really good movies and shows and books. And we're going to talk about some books here in just a moment.
And I will say that I love the fact that, like, I knew Sterling K. Brown, his wife, her name escapes me. I think she was in,
The Good Wife?
Absolutely that role
I think
as well.
I think maybe she was in that.
But then almost everyone else is maybe an unknown.
Well, and this is what I'm going to tell you.
Incredible performances.
The two younger actors in mm-hmm. that actor, if they're not household names, Terrence and I can't remember in 2 years. I guarantee it.
Remarkable, remarkable roles.
All right, let's, I'm going to do a preemptive strike here with the boo sound effects as I welcome Steve Templeton. Even before he gives the forecast, you're getting booed. How about that, Steve?
Do you remember booing me about this time last year, too, when it snowed? This is 2 years in a row.
Really? This very week?
In fact, November 12th last year was the first 1-inch plus snow, actually the first snow of the season, and it was 1.2 inches, so almost to the
well,
day.
Well, so now we're just consistent, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so what's going on out there, and how windy is it?
It is windy. Wind chills are going to be in the single digits this evening. They'll be near zero, maybe even a little bit below zero tomorrow morning, by the way. So the wind is blowing the snow around, but the snow's not going to last much longer. It's pretty much going to wind down in St. Louis in the next I'd say a couple hours or so, and not much more additional accumulation, maybe a few tenths of an inch to a half an inch additional accumulation at most. We've seen probably about 1 to 2 inches. That's generally what some of the reports are coming in. I haven't gotten the official one from the airport, but this is early. There is no doubt this is early. The earliest snow on record is November 5th, the earliest 1 inch plus, I should say. But the average 1 inch plus is December 21st. So this is way early than normal, but it is
crushed
windy.
We crushed it this year.
Yeah,
right?
We crushed it. Well, here's the thing to watch. So watch the temperatures. Actually, watch the road conditions more particularly, because we're already below freezing. But, you know, it was so warm yesterday. We had 66. It's going to take a while for that ground to cool off and maybe turn icy.
Oh, wait, you weren't the boo sound effect went off. Now, you heard applause there. There we go. All right. I didn't want to give you a plug, but really, now the story is the cold temps for the next few days, right?
Yep, we go down to 12 tonight, and that is the record, and that's an old record,
12.
From 1911. Wind chill is going to be near zero, so it's going to be near record cold tomorrow morning. The high of 25 is 35 degrees below the normal high of 60.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
All right. Well, look, when I'm in the deer stand Saturday morning, it's going to be, what, around 30 degrees?
Saturday morning? Yeah.
Okay, actually, good. That's not too bad. I'll take
better,
that over 14.
Right?
And Steve, we'll talk in an hour. How does that sound?
We'll do
a little more than an hour. 4:45 this afternoon. I am joined this afternoon in the studio by My friend Ridley Pearson, he's one of my favorite people on the planet, best-selling author. I like him so much that even though he was on with Charlie Brennan this morning, I'm still having him on this afternoon. That speaks volumes, Ridley Pearson.
It does, Mark, but
how are you?
It's great to see you.
It's great to see you, too, because we literally haven't seen you. It may be more than a year since I've seen you.
Yeah, or, that's not
that's
usual.
That's kind of sad. Although when did you get the star?
We do text.
When did you get the star out on?
It was a couple years ago, I think, 2 years ago.
I hope it's not been that long since I've seen it.
I did have a friend who sent me a photo of, shall we say, dog remains on my star.
No, really?
Just to let me know my place in life.
Well, that was a big moment for you, and you
it
certainly
really
earned
it.
And now
moment.
You can take the loop trolley up and down and wait a second. You can't really do that, but I don't know if you're dialed into that controversy. You have brought a good friend with you this afternoon,
Ridley
Pearson.
And fellow published writer.
You know, she hasn't written anything very popular or successful, but that's okay. Would you like to introduce her?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Meg Cabot.
Meg Cabot, how are you? Probably, I mean, is it fair to say best known for The Princess Diaries?
I would say, yeah.
That was kind of a hit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little bit. People seem to have been aware of it.
When did you write that book?
That book is actually about to celebrate its 20th anniversary, so it came out in actually... 2000. The movie came out in 2001. So,
and was there a sequel to the book and to the movie? There was a sequel to the movie,
been
right?
Both.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was it a series? And I'm very bad. Ridley will tell you this. I have no idea usually what I'm talking about. I don't do a lot of research about my guests. I sort of wing it. So I'm going to ask you to fill in the blanks here.
There's been a sequel to the movie, and possibly there's going to be a third movie. And there have been many sequels to the book. So there's been quite a few. In fact, I just did a book about the Princess Mia as an adult having a royal wedding. So that came out a couple years ago.
So I'm going to show you. I don't know if you can see from afar. I'm going to hold a picture up on my phone and see if you can identify that person. You know who that person is right there with me?
Is that Anne Hathaway?
It is not, but it looks just like her, doesn't it? You know who that
Anne
is?
What does Anne Hathaway look
like? That is well, here's the deal. That is my friend Jane Beard. I actually saw her this weekend. She is Anne's body double for the films.
Kidding.
And in the Ocean's movie, whatever that was, with the female cast.
Ocean's 8, yeah.
Did you see it?
Yes.
I lose the number. So in the very, and I don't think this spoils anything, in the very final scene of the movie, Anne Hathaway is a director, and she's directing someone who is on set, and it's actually Jane. It looks like she's directing herself, but she's directing. It's just kind of funny.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. But that turned Anne Hathaway into a pretty big star, didn't it?
She did, yeah. Also. That was her first movie role.
So what are you doing hanging out with this guy?
Well,
that's a valid question.
That's what
right?
I ask myself every day.
This is all DC Comics.
Yeah, so you get involved, Ridley, in so many different genres, young adult and mystery, but now the DC comic world with graphic novels, is that sort of the next step?
It was a cool opportunity. They came to both Meg and me and about 12 other best-selling authors and said, we want to create a line of graphic novels instead of small comic books, graphic novels that can help kids get excited about reading and move them into chapter books over time. And we want to base them all on our superheroes. So which superheroes would you like to write about?
Let's back up to the definition of graphic novel. I don't want to lose people because it might seem obvious to me because I'm familiar with The Walking Dead and some other things that have been turned to other forms of entertainment. But somebody else out there might think you're writing R-rated literature at this point. We want to make sure that...
Oh, yes, it's not that kind of graphic.
It's a different graphic, right.
It means comic, drawn.
Yeah.
Yes, and I realized, Mark, when they asked me to do this, neither of us had ever done this, and I think that's true of the other 12 or
right.
so. And so we actually went to graphic novel school.
Graphic novel writing school.
But
really?
One of the things that you learned
DC Comics held it.
It took me time to understand that graphic novels are all about the graphic. They're all about the picture. So, if you're really good at this, you can tell a lot of the story without any text at all. And I'm still working on being really good at this. But the word graphic simply means there's a drawn image.
I can't remember who it was that said, famous filmmaker or somebody said, if you really good movie, even if you don't listen to the words, you should still be able to follow the story.
Exactly. And that's pretty much how it is with a graphic novel as well. So a graphic novel is basically just a very long comic book, I would say.
Yes, especially what we're doing since we're doing it for middle grade.
And we're kind of trying to combat the idea that reading a graphic novel is not as difficult as reading a regular novel or what we would call a prose novel, because it is. You use just as much as your brain to read a graphic novel as you would use to read a prose novel, because there are still some people out there who think, oh, it's just a comic book. It's easy. It's not. It's difficult. And kids are reading these, and they're getting just as much out of it
but
as
it's
they
not,
would.
It's not just kids, either.
I mean, oh, adults, too.
The graphic
too?
Novels
yeah,
are very
no,
popular.
It's, yeah. And that's why they're,
in fact,
they've
even
launched
these
this line.
Books are selling to adults.
Exactly. Yeah. So we are introducing this new line of younger superheroes. So, for instance, my character is Black Canary, who has actually been around since the 1940s, but she was always an adult superhero. In my book now, she's actually maybe 13, and she's in middle school, and she's just discovering her superpowers. And Ridley's...
Yeah, and with me, they... Because I wrote the Kingdom Keepers series and co-wrote Peter and the Starcatchers and would deal with sort of team protagonists. They have a series on, you know, that's more adult called The Super Sons, and they wanted me to make a middle grade version of that, but it had to have two protagonists, Son of Batman, Son of Superman. So
oh, that's
really, really.
But have Super Sons been, that's been out there in the comic
exactly.
world for a
yeah,
while?
In the and it's been very successful.
So did
but
they
it's, you know, it's aimed more at the in the late teens, 20s kind of thing.
Did the DC folks then, did you have any say in what you were going to do, or did they
yes.
say, Meg Cabot, Ridley Pearson, you're doing this?
Oh, no, we had total say.
Oh,
in
okay.
fact, in
yeah.
fact, I was told, just look through our back catalog and see which superhero appeals to
Take
you. And that's yeah. how I discovered Black Canary, and she appealed to me right away, because weirdly, as a kid, I was always told that I was way too loud, and Black Canary's superpower is that she has a supersonic voice. And so it was really exciting to me to find a superhero I could personally relate to. And so I said, can I have Black Canary? And they said, absolutely. And how did you choose Super Sons,
well,
Ridley?
They sort of steered me towards Super Sons. And then I said, guys, I know nothing about Superman or Batman other than great movies I've seen. So maybe I'm not the right guy. And they said, no, we want you to restart this. So that's great. And if you go off the rails and you're leaving the universe of either of those,
they'll
we'll
rein
pull
you, back,
you
in.
Back in.
Right.
And so I worked really closely with my editors, and they often did say, no. You know, that person. But the early Damian Wayne, who was in Super Sons, ended up an assassin. And I said, guys, I'm not writing a book about a child assassin.
Good, well, good instincts
sounds,
there.
Not
kind
how
of
I roll.
Fun, but I don't know.
And so I said, I'm going to change his name to Ian. Just take that out of Damian. And he's going to be a different character altogether because I can't handle a child assassin.
Yeah,
I said,
maybe not.
I think that's okay.
Probably good call there. Were either of you, because you said you didn't know the DC world. I don't really either. And I don't know... you know, the Marvel world outside of the movies.
Yeah.
Certainly I didn't kiss a girl until I was 19, but I have since then. So I don't know those worlds. However, how do you do then your research on that world?
Well, there's a lot of backstory on Black Canary, and I was able to look it up and also read old. We were, of course, given the entire back catalog of our characters. So I read a lot of Black Canary comic books, and there were some lines about Black Canary that I didn't really want to explore. You know, she's been put into a lot of comas, it turns out. And a lot of stuff has happened to Black Canary because she's been around since the 1940s. So they've had her in and out of comas, and they've had lots of different origin stories for how she got her supersonic voice. But and she's actually on a show right now on the CW. There's a show called Arrow. And Black Canary is on that show. Arrow is really more about her boyfriend. But I really wanted to just go back to her origin. So I really started my story with what actually happened to the original character in the 1940s. And that's that she inherits her power from her mother.
Can
not to give a spoiler,
a stupid
though.
Question. What, sure. is, what is a supersonic voice? What does
so
that do
her,
for you?
She has a supersonic canary.
Oh,
yeah, thanks, Ridley.
That was very good, Ridley.
She can decimate whole armies and just...
No
just,
more breaking wine glasses.
Yeah,
this woman can slay you.
At a... The one problem is, first of all, she can't control it because she's a kid. She's just developing it. And the other problem is she's not too happy about it because, I mean, if you had to have a superpower, would that be the one that you choose? Probably not.
Probably not, right. Ridley Pearson, Meg Cabot, hang on. There is an event tonight that we're going to steer people toward St. Louis County Library on South Lindbergh at 6:30. So check that out. We're coming back with more in a moment.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
All right, welcome back. Bradley Pearson, best-selling author, and Meg Cabot has had some success with her books over the years as well, including The Princess Diaries. They're both in town for an event at the St. Louis Public Library tonight to talk about the new graphic novels they're doing. Black Canary Ignite is Meg's first graphic novel. Super Sons, The Foxglove Mission is Ridley's. And those are both out right now where people can find those and download those as well, Ridley.
They are. Yeah, and it's fun downloading them. Have you seen those?
I have not.
The e-versions of them are actually super fun. You can get them on your phone or your iPad, and you get the image, and you can move the images around and do things that in a book are pretty static. It's actually kind of fun.
So where does this then go from here? Are you writing another book potentially with your same characters or with different characters in the DC world?
We're going to have to see what happens. This is my first. This is Ridley's second, and he has another one coming out.
This is number two.
He's committed. Ridley is committed.
The trilogy ends in April with number three, and I've started another series for them. I'm two books through that for them called The Indestructibles. They let me do an original IP,
They love what you're doing.
Wait, what does that mean? You lost me.
Well, I mean, normally you're doing their intellectual property, the stuff they own, they have copyrights on. You know, they're going to, if anything ever happens with it, they're going to be the ones. And they've allowed me to invent new characters for DC, basically.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about when you were describing that is how, now I remember why I don't like having you on very often, because you work so damn hard and you make me feel like nothing because you are always working.
Ridley makes all of us feel that way.
But I mean, seriously, he never stops, does he?
I know, in the amount of time that I took to write my one Black Canary Ignite graphic novel, he's written like four of them, I think.
I like it.
I mean, it's incredible. And it's not easy. They are very difficult to write. I mean, when you're writing a prose novel, that's something that we've both been doing for a long time. Yeah. We had to relearn how to write to do these. We took classes at DC Comics. They taught us. And he's just blasted off doing this. And the rest of all of us other writers who are doing it, we're just like, what happened?
Well, so, Meg, what is the process? Because you obviously have an animator that you're working with right?
Yes, an illustrator, my artist, Cara McGee. Well, so basically it's like writing a screenplay, which, you know, for anybody out there who's ever done that, which I think we've both done,
yes.
Except that you are describing in much greater detail what is being shown on the page. Because I didn't know this before, but when you read a comic book and you see those little panels, each panel where you're showing the superhero speaking, I thought you just would write, you know, basically what the character is saying.
What I would have thought.
That's exactly what I thought too. So I thought, oh, this is going to be an easy job. This is some easy money. No, you, as a writer, you describe every single thing that's happening in each of those panels.
You tell them where the camera is
exactly.
In the room, what the lighting is, what the mood is in the person, the hair is
so much more work.
You're a director, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
The role of director.
Then the artist draws exactly what you've described, what they're wearing and everything. So it's a lot more work than I thought. And I enjoyed it immensely, but I don't have I can't work quite as quickly as Ridley's managing to do.
I just love doing it. I mean, I've always loved scripts, but in scripts, they ask you to do less description and let the director take all that. And in this, you are the director, you are the cameraman.
And I would have thought exactly the opposite, so I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah,
That's interesting.
It's a fun process.
Are there hopes then beyond, you know, do they want to turn these into movie projects as well, or it depends on success, obviously?
I will say that there has been some talk about perhaps some, maybe not necessarily movies, but maybe some animated.
Meg's had a lot of talk about this.
Yeah. Well, because Black Canary is a character that is become very popular, especially because right now, you know, their kids want to have a voice. You know, we've got a lot of, and having a superpower of having a voice, everybody's got one. So it's not really a superpower unless you have a supersonic one, but it is something that everybody has. So it's a really great character to have kind of brought forward at this current time.
Well, have their own streamings. They've mentioned to me they may try to stream Super Sons and things. But everybody has it. Do you have your own streaming company, Mark?
I do not have my own streaming company. No.
Yeah.
Should you and I work on that?
Yes.
No, I have no
Mark
idea.
Reed.
All I do is talk on the radio. That's pretty much all I do. It's just, I have no other skills. You know, it was funny. I was cleaning, I was going to talk about this a little bit earlier, and I highly recommend this to anyone who's never done it, but I tend to move a lot, and we moved 2 years ago, and before that it was 5 years previous, and I thought I had really kind of cleanse all the possessions in my house, but I hadn't. So we got a dumpster on Friday morning delivered to the house and filled the whole thing up with all kinds. We donated a lot of things to Goodwill as well. But I got rid of all my CDs. donated to. Because I'm thinking, what am I going to need with my CDs, right? It was hard. I kept my vinyl. I have my vinyl. But I also went through the movies. I kept a bunch of movies for my daughter. I kept the classic movies. I got some pretty cool collections. But I was going through things. And this one I saved, Meg Cabot. I feel stupid because I was going to bring it in, but I found my copy of The Princess Diaries.
Aww.
I'm like, I put it aside. And as I was driving in today, I thought, oh, I was going to pull that in here. I would have had you sign it, but... Yeah, I did like that. Right. I like that movie
a lot.
I'll
be back.
Both those are great movies.
Yeah.
And Anne is a very, I've interviewed Anne and I've spoken with her. She's a very, very sweet person when I've had encounters with her. So maybe
she's
she was faking me out, but she was very nice.
No, she actually did the first three of the books of The Princess Diaries on tape.
Oh, wow.
Before she really became, you know, hugely well-known for the movie. And I went into the studio and talked to her to the at the audio taping. And she was just so sweet. And just, she really genuinely is a wonderful person. Just as she comes across on screen.
Well, it's always nice to have those encounters because not everyone, certainly, you can't say that about everyone. But it's awesome to have you guys in. And again, the event tonight, 6:30. The weather should not interfere. This stuff, so you heard Steve saying it's tapering off. It's not that big of a deal. The ground temperatures.
People can skate to us. They can snowshoe.
We will be there no matter what.
St. Louis County Public Library on Lindbergh, 6:30. What's going on with the, and I just want to ask you this because we're music people and we were talking Ridley during the break about music, but the Rock Bottom Remainders, they had like this big send-off years ago, but I had heard, hadn't you told me that there was a reunion?
Yeah, we've come back since that a couple of times because the person who put us together was a media escort had passed on. And we did a big tribute to her and felt like that was it. But then,
but explain what they are for people who don't know.
So this is an all-authors band with Stephen King, Mitch Albom,
Dave Barry,
Scott Turow,
Amy Tan,
Greg
right?
Isles, Amy Tan, and me.
Meg, you don't play instruments?
I do not, but I'm fascinated by this. I want to hear more.
Have you never heard them or seen them?
I have not seen them. I've heard of them. I feel like I'm sitting next to much more greatness than I ever knew now.
But we had a great gig. Stephen King only plays with us maybe every 3 or 4 years now because of that terrible leg injuries he's had. But he did play with us in May, and we played in Minneapolis at a thing for NPR and a new reading festival that was happening there, and we played in the bar that Prince made famous, and we packed it, and Stephen had the crowd in the palm of his hands. We had the most fun we've had in years, and we're going to play again in 2 weeks without Stephen and a few of the people at the Miami Book Fair. So
awesome.
I'm excited about that.
Ridley Pearson, let's make sure it's not 2 years.
I agree.
I can't even believe how much
fabulous
time has gone
Carol
by.
Has returned, ladies and gentlemen.
Carol's got the news, so I got to cut you guys off. Meg, it was great to meet you. Good luck with the DC World. It sounds like fun. I know there's going to be a lot of interest in it, and hopefully folks will, I know they will, and they'll show up tonight at the library. That's actually where I met you, because I was doing, you probably don't remember this, I think I was emceeing between you and Scott Turow.
Oh, okay.
And we kind of connected that night, and you know, it's all downhill from there.
Scott's in the band. Yeah, well, how did I leave Scott out?
No, you said it.
Good. Oh, good.
Yeah.
There you go. Ridley, great
Thank
to see you.
Thank you so much.
Meg, nice to meet you. Carol's got the news. We're coming back with much more here this afternoon, including an audio cut of the day.
Hey, Cardinals fans, your spot for everything Redbirds this offseason is KMOX. From the Hot Stove Show to the winter meetings in San Diego to winter warm-up, the Cardinal Caravan, then 2020 spring training in Jupiter. Your home for everything Cardinals is KMOX.
Audio cut of the day coming up here in just a short time. I have Sterling K. Brown, actor, extraordinary St. Louis guy. He was actually in town over the weekend for a cancer gala on Saturday night. He went back to New York. I saw his film Waves, which will open up in a couple of weeks on Friday night at the St. Louis International Film Festival. It is amazing. So Sterling K. Brown joins me at 4:20 this afternoon. I have in the studio with me KSDK investigative reporter Chris Davis. I saw a story that Chris is going to do for tonight that I thought a lot of people could relate with, so I invited him in. Chris Davis, how are you? Welcome to KMOX.
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Mark. I do want to make one quick. We are actually airing it Wednesday at 10.
Okay.
So
I'm pretty good at passing along false information, so I apologize. So Wednesday at 10. Well, look, it's great to meet you because I'm a fan of what you do on social media. You seem to have... Here's what I like about Chris Davis. You take a very positive tone where we don't have a lot of positivity out there on social media, and you do come up with some creative posts, and you travel a lot, don't you?
Try to, yeah.
Yeah,
anytime you can, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you know Jake Zimmerman, who is the assessor for the St. Louis County. Yeah, I don't know if you. Yeah. So he's running for St. Louis County Executive. He has the title. I don't know if he appreciates this. He's the official ginger of the Mark Reardon Show. You could vie for that title.
Yeah, maybe I need to try to slide in there. Yeah, absolutely.
He's got, there's lots of red hair in the studio. And you've been in St. Louis for a couple of years now, right?
Right, yeah. I'll be at Channel 5 for 2 years come this January. So it's time flies when you're having fun.
How do you put up with big egos like that jerk Mike Bush? I don't know how you'd ever get past that guy. Because no, I love Mike.
He's a good guy. He is.
You have a great team over there. Look, I have Chris Nagus on and Lauren from Channel 4. But certainly when you guys have stories that are interesting, and this one's interesting. So let's get to the meat of the story that will air on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I don't have one of these. I do have an ADT security system where I have cameras, just to be clear for anyone who would like to rob my house.
Say that very loudly, yes.
Yeah, and I can monitor it right now. But yeah, a lot of folks have, my neighbor, for example, has the Ring doorbells. Mm-hmm. And it's a very inexpensive way to add some security, probably scare off some thieves. But what you're going to report on is a very interesting aspect of this that I don't think a lot of people know.
Sure, absolutely. I think a lot of people maybe automatically assume that they have full control over who sees their video and how it's used, but that's not necessarily the case, especially with Amazon, which is the owner of Ring cameras, which is really becoming a popular brand.
See, I don't even think I knew that.
I think they only bought Ring like within the last year or so.
Okay.
So part of owning a Ring camera, there's also this companion app called Neighbors, and it's a lot like Nextdoor, if you're familiar with that. It's really kind of a social media channel geared towards crime.
See,
people
and
reporting
and
what's
I was
in
not
their
familiar
area.
With that, but are you saying, so if you have a Ring, do you have to have Neighbors? Is that like a requirement?
It's not necessarily a requirement, but a lot of people use it. And to be clear, you don't technically have to just have a Ring doorbell camera to use Neighbors. You can upload your ADT video to that, but it's kind of a social media site geared, an app geared towards this is what's going on in the neighborhood, and they'll send you push alerts. You can kind of set your range and say, I live in Soulard, so if anything happens within kind of the South City area, I can get a little, you know, notification on my phone.
Okay.
And so it can be a nice thing to be able to know what's going on around you.
So it's almost like a digital Crime Stoppers to
it
a certain
is,
extent,
very
or just
much
an
so.
Updated version of Neighborhood Watch.
Sure. And that's what that's what Amazon bills it as, is kind of the new Neighborhood Watch. The thing that maybe is not very well known is if you post any video or picture to that site, it goes into Amazon's, you know, Amazon has control over how that's used. And then also St. Louis County is one of 400 police departments across the country that has partnered with Amazon to be a partner agency with them. So if you post any surveillance video to that site, then St. Louis County automatically has the ability to use that for investigations, which, you know, they can also go and ask for it in the traditional sense. But what they have that's a little bit different, and this is kind of what our story gets into, is they have their own portal and kind of login, and a lot of their detectives have their own login into this, and they can actually kind of open up a map and they can automatically determine how many Ring cameras are in a specific area that they're doing an investigation in. And right there from their portal, they can make a request for your video. Now, if you say yes to that request, then they can have it no problem at all. If you say no, then they can go the extra step and then still subpoena that video through the legal system.
Let's see. I don't know if you have a real life example, but let me just come up with one. Let's say we had a situation in my neighborhood where there was somebody that tried to steal a trailer from Paradise Valley Golf Course, and there was something wrong with the trailer. It didn't work very well, so they just basically left it in front of my house and my neighbor's house right in the middle of the street. We wake up, and this trailer's there. We're like, what happened? Well, cops come, and they knock on the door, and I have a camera that goes out to the front, so we're all sort of trying to find out if we saw anything. So that's basically what they're trying to do in certain cases, right?
Sure, absolutely. And when we talk to St. Louis County for the story, they're saying this is a game changer. This saves us from having to go knock on 30 doors. You know, it really, they said that their detectives make this part of their daily routine, kind of their beat check system. They look in their neighborhood area that they're assigned to see if anybody's posting in that neighbor's app. But then also when they need to request video, this makes that a lot more seamless. So they obviously love it. Some privacy.
But there's a but, though,
yeah,
right? There's a privacy.
As with anything, it's the age-old privacy over, you know, sense of security. So, you know, it's I guess it's kind of the premise that don't assume that if, you know, if you own one of these cameras that you have sole discretion over how that video is being used is really, I guess, what it comes down to.
Interesting. So who did you speak with? You spoke with St. Louis County. Is that something the city uses, too?
So the city is not a partner agency with it, and I don't really know if Amazon's looking to expand that or not. So the city still kind of goes under the traditional sense of looking probably around social, and they may use neighbors. There's nothing stopping them from setting up an account and looking and see what's posted on there. The difference is for county, the county being one of those 400 partners, that they actually have a login that where they can do the scan and see who all has Ring cameras in that area and then can submit those requests that way.
It is interesting. We're in a different age where you can sit here, and my system's a little bit different than Ring. And I think one of the original reasons I got a camera was basically to see what my dogs were doing. And
absolutely.
I'm not even making that up.
Sure.
Like, I'm going to position this one to see what my dogs are doing during the day and if they're barking at people. But it is some of the technology. I don't have one of these things going back to the dog issue, but there's something out there. I can't remember the name of the product that you can basically spy on your dogs and even talk to them and even distribute a treat.
Oh, wow.
To them.
Now that's next level there.
Right. Well, so then let's sort of talk about next level Ring. Then you can have, who knows what's going to happen with those next levels.
Sure.
Because what is it? The Allstate commercial right now where they feature the guy that's robbing the front door.
Yes.
it's crazy, the technology out there. All right, so that story will air Wednesday night.
And an interesting tidbit to that, too, kind of related to the dog element of it, too, is also when you sign the user agreement, the pesky user agreement that nobody reads, that you are giving Amazon pretty much clearance to do with any of that video as they wish.
Really?
There have been some documented situations where people have seen some situation that played out in front of the doorbell camera featured in an ad or a social media post. We reached out to Amazon for that, and they said that now, or I should clarify, I don't know what if they've had a change in the policy, but they say their policy is to ask for permission. But if they don't hear back from you from a certain standpoint or can't get a hold of you, then they still have full clearance to be able to use that footage how they want to.
I mean, if you don't sign the user agreement, then you pretty much can't use the product.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's we're all guilty of, I don't think I've ever fully read through one of those user agreement type things. So, and I think that's kind of the point, though.
Yeah.
And people will argue that, hey, you're using their product and you have to play by the rules. But I think that's just good for people to know that if you're
getting
into this.
It is good for people to know. But
yeah.
I think that the thing that's positive about these things, even though maybe it's not going to, I don't know if it's going to prevent someone from breaking into your door, but it's going to maybe prevent them from taking that, and this is where Amazon comes into play, that package off your front,
sure,
porch, because we've seen countless examples of people, I'm sure I've seen stuff on Channel 5 and the other stations, of video that someone has captured,
sure,
and then they hopefully get the police involved to find them. Chris Davis, thanks for coming in. Great to meet you in person.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Mark.
We'll put that title of the official ginger of the Mark Reardon Show up for grabs. These titles are very important to the guests that come on here. No compensation. Really means nothing, but you're going to be very proud of it. Chris, nice to meet you in person.
Absolutely.
Take care. Say hi to the gang over there at Channel 5 for
me. Sure will.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
I have an audio cut of the day coming up, but let me touch on something here briefly. So, and I won't mention my friend's name because maybe that would be unfair. Maybe he took the tweet down at this point because the original tweeter did take it down. We have Veterans Day, and the president was telling a story today about a veteran, and just the theme was the sacrifices that veterans have made. Here's part of the story here.
Also here with us today is Lauren Matthews, the granddaughter of a Battle of the Bulge veteran who has since passed away. His name was Master Sergeant Roddy Edmonds.
All right, so he's going through some of the stories here. Let me kind of pick it up toward the end because I want to make my point, illustrate my point.
Roddy stared right back. He said, "We are all Jews here." At that point, the German put a gun to Roddy's head and demanded, "You will order the Jews to step forward immediately, or I will shoot you right now through the head." Roddy responded, "Major, you can shoot me, but you'll have to kill us all." Something.
So that's the story with context. After he says that, there's a clip that starts circulating and being tweeted out by people and retweeted out by people and retweeted out more. And all the folks that hate the president thinks he would say something like that, think that, how can this happen? This is what's going on here. This isn't, this is from The Onion. Well, the problem is they took it out of context. So here's the clip that's circulating.
"You can shoot me, but you'll have to kill us all."
That's basically it. Now, they do let the end part on here. Well, he said, I think you can hear him say something at some point here where he says, wow, or he just sort
something.
Of. Yeah, he says it's something. Listen.
Something.
But again, that was sold as something that the president said and not part of that larger story. It happens all the time. It is the very definition of fake news, and it is completely unfair, no matter what you think of Trump, to represent things that he said in an out-of-context way. And by the way, I think it's happened ever since Charleston. And even people on the right do it when it comes to what he said at Charleston about there's good people on both sides. Completely manufactured fake news. But that's what happens.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Sponsored this afternoon by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. That was actually going to be my cut of the day, but we got some new stuff that just came in that I thought was worth playing. This is Devin Blake Langford. He's only 13 years old, and he survived the ambush in Mexico last week that killed 9 people. 3 children, 6 children, and 3 adults. 6 children. 3 adults.
It felt real scary, and it felt like a lot of bullets. Afterwards, they got us out of the car, and they just got us on the floor, and then they drove off. So I started walking because every one of them were bleeding really bad, so I was trying to get in a rush to get there.
I'll tell you what, he sounds pretty composed for a 13-year-old kid.
She was trying to pray to the Lord, and she's trying to start the car up to get out of there. She was a nice person and brave woman that tried to save her kids.
That was him remembering his mother's last moments. Devin Blake Langford, 13 years old. Here's his father.
I lost a wife and 2 children. But I haven't to move the rest of my family with really no place to go at this point. To be honest with you, my boy's a hero simply because he gave his life for his brothers and sisters.
That's terrible. That's your audio cut of the day and a sad one this afternoon. Total Information PM coming up. Sterling K. Brown at 4:20.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.